The log boats emerged from the woodland fringe onto the heathlands. Buckler and Diggs leaned on the rail of the raft. Several times they had volunteered to wield paddles alongside the shrews. Their attempts elicited some fruity rebuffs from the grousem, who were convinced no beast was their equal at paddling. One wag called out,
"You wouldn't need paddles. You two could do the job with those long ears of yours."
Logalog Django rebuked the caller sternly.
"Mind your manners, Fliggle, or I'll take that paddle to your tail."
Diggs munched on a pasty he had rescued at lunch.
"This is the life, fell scout. I'll wager General Flatbuffet goes spare if he could see us now, what?"
Buckler sighed. It was indeed a pleasant interlude, just leaning on the rail, taking in the scenery. Bees buzzed around the red clover growing in clumps on the heath. Clouded yellow butterflies winged gaily in and out of the harebells and scarlet poppies. Dragonflies patrolled the stream edges on iridescent wings, guarding their territory from caddis and alderfly. Young Rambunculus joined the hares, pointing to the distant tree fringe off to their left.
"We'll be there by eventide. See the way this stream takes a broad curve? We'll probably arrive at Redwall sometime before tomorrow evening."
Buckler nodded.
"Does this stream flow right to the abbey?"
Rainbow, the Witherspike's resident mole, joined them.
"Nay, sir. Seems stream bees are running some ways off. Us'll have to walk to ee abbey from there."
Rambunculus explained further.
"There's a little dead-end cut-off backstream. That'll be the closest to Redwall we can get. It's a good place to stow the raft, and the shrew boats too. Not too far to walk from there, mates."
Diggs brushed pasty crumbs from his tunic.
"By the left and centre, Buck, these chaps have certainly got it worked out, what? Paddle and sail wherever you jolly well can, and march as little as blooming possible. You know, I think Salamandastron could do with some sailing craft, have a sort of navy of its own, what? That'd be just the flipping ticket for me. Think I'll suggest it to Lord Brank. Admiral Diggs. That could be me."
Buckler chuckled.
"What do you know about sailing, you great fat fraud?"
Diggs replied indignantly.
"As much as you or any other beast knows. I've been listening, you know. Aye, and I've learned a blinking thing or three, and all the sayings and commands."
A shrew who had been eavesdropping from the logboat closest to them called out.
"Go on then, rabbit. Show us what you know."
Diggs waggled his ears scornfully at the gowsham.
"Rabbit yourself, Spike Bonce. Right, listen to this."
Cupping both paws around his mouth, Diggs called out in what he imagined was true nautical style.
"Lower your tillers, me hearties. Take her about and swell me scuppers. Make fast your rowlocks and forage your stern. Then unfurl your mastheads. Ahoy, mateys!" And so on. Well, how was that for an old river dog, eh?
Logalog Django gave him a scornful wink.
"That's enough to sink any vessel and drive the crew mad."
As predicted, they made the woodlands by mid-evening, sailing on in search of a likely place to spend the night. The trees were tall, ancient and sombre, blocking out daylight completely, a far different atmosphere from the sunny open expanse of heathland. Silence shrouded everything, making the surroundings rather eerie. The gowsham lit lanterns, which reflected the gloomy green light of the overhead leaf canopy. Oakheart drove a spiked timber into the shallows, mooring streamlass, so she would not run foul of underwater obstacles and get stuck again. Once every beast was ashore, things began to jolly up a bit. A long dead fallen pine upon the bank soon provided a big cheerful fire. Gowsham cooks took over, and from the pool provisions of themselves, the two hares, and the Witherspike troop, they provided the travellers with a supper which would have passed muster in most places. Buckler was concerned about the size of the fire.
"Django, do you think this blaze could spread?"
The gowsham logalog waved a paw at the massive trees surrounding them. Some of their trunks were of great girth and coated in moss.
"These things are so big and old and damp that you could light a fire at their bases, and it wouldn't harm them. Come on, sit you down, Buck. No need to worry over things like that. The beer's brewed and the bread's baked."